My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Does that one sound familiar to any of you? It's the one I grew up with, the table prayer I grew up with, and it's the one that I taught to my children. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Amen. A lot of times we would just rattle it off so that we could eat real quick. And, you know, I think we just became so familiar with it that it no longer made a whole lot of sense to us. So when I looked at today's gospel reading, I thought, wow, the feeding of the 5,000. And how familiar that story is to all of us. In fact, so familiar that I think some of us take it for granted. We may have learned it in childhood, and we think, yeah, Jesus fed the 5,000. No oohs, no ahs. It's just a nice summer story about a very large picnic. I think familiarity makes us lose some of its miraculous impact. And yet, this story is told in all four Gospels. And what that means is that most of the early Christian community also knew the story and that it had a huge impact on them. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and let these gifts to us be blessed. Amen. Even though we have switched now to the book of John, during the month of August, from the book of Mark, we find him where we left him last week, namely with relentless crowds following him. Jesus has compassion on them, and he wants to feed them. John adds a note to this story that it takes place at the time of the Passover. Now, he's not just letting us know that it's springtime, which is when the Passover takes place, but he, like any good writer, is giving us a clue as to the meaning of the story. Passover is the time where the Jewish people feast, remembering that God kept God's promises to them and freed them from slavery. He rescued them from its bonds. Passover is a time of feasting and rejoicing and giving thanks for all that God has done. The only problem is there is no food. So Jesus turns to his disciple Philip and takes the words out of his mouth by saying, "What shall we do? Where are we going to find bread for all these people? What shall we do? What shall we do?" Isn't that the question that we all ask when things are uncertain, when there's anxiety? What shall we do? The weather didn't cooperate for the wedding. What shall we do? I didn't get the promotion. What shall we do? The car repair is going to cost $1,000. What shall we do? The diagnosis is terminal. What shall we do? How are we going to get the job, the money, the bread, the medicine, the food, whatever it is that we need? John says Jesus asks this question, "What shall we do?" to test Philip. But I don't think this is a temptation kind of testing. When my children were growing up, we used to teach them that a test was a way, it was like an opportunity for them to show how much they knew. It was a time for them to perform well. And I think it's that way with Jesus and Philip here. He's giving Philip an opportunity to show his faith, to testify to what he knows and believes about God and about how Jesus works, even in confronting impossibilities, like feeding 5,000 people. But Philip chokes immediately. There is just no way, even with 6 months' wages, that we're going to feed all these people, he says. Philip can only think of bread in earthly terms. So he can't see any way out of this predicament. Well, wait a minute, interrupts Andrew. There's a boy here, a little boy, a very tiny boy, as it says in the Greek, the tiniest of children, who has offered his lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish. But maybe, and this is the testament of faith that Jesus was searching for. This is what he was looking for, faith. So like sheep on a grassy hillside, he tells everybody to sit down, and he feeds them. 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. He takes the small loaves, he gives thanks for them, and he distributes them among the people. All are fed. All are satisfied. And there's even leftovers. In these simple acts of faith, taking, giving thanks, and sharing, a miracle comes forth. You see, this story is a simple lesson in stewardship, taking care of what the Lord has given us, even if it seems small and insignificant. Jesus takes what is available. He uses the resources that he has. He doesn't say, if only we had a little more flour or if only we had a bigger fish. No, he takes this, and this is the step where miracles happen. He gives thanks out of gratefulness for what he already has and what we have already been blessed with. Endless possibilities can happen. People like Mother Teresa of Calcutta and Bishop Desmond Tutu are models of how minimal resources can change the hearts and even transform nations. When we give thanks for what we already have and use it to God's glory, we find the courage and the trust to ask God for more. We no longer ask, what shall we do? But we ask, what shall God do with what we already have? This is the answer of faith. Jesus took what was given, gave thanks for it, and shared it with others. When we share what little we have with others, our joy is multiplied. I think of the 31,000 youth and adult leaders who gathered in Houston this summer. We get all these Lutherans together in one big arena, and you know what happens? Conga lines. People praising God. People shouting, this God's love changes everything. It was amazing. Ask these young people when you see them, what kind of joy filled that arena? Of course, one cannot read this lesson faithfully without remembering those who have no bread in this world and our Christian responsibility to help feed them. 1 out of every 5 children now in the United States does not have enough food. 1 out of 5. Go to some playground somewhere and count 5 kids. 1 out of 5 do not have enough food. I think it's shameful, especially when we throw out so much food every day from our grocery stores. We have wanted our taxes to be lowered and lowered, but it does affect the children in this country, their health and their well-being. We have to advocate for a better way. A story is told by Mother Teresa about taking some rice to a Hindu family with 8 children. She said the children's faces were shining with hunger. The mother took the rice from her, divided it into 2 packets, and then left. And Mother Teresa was confused. A few minutes later, the mother came back, and she asked her where she had been. And the mother said, she went to her neighbors, where there was a Muslim family with children who were hungry too. And she shared half the rice with them. She shared the miracle of God's abundance, and her face was filled with joy. You and I, we are asked to participate in God's miracle of multiplying resources. Each of us, in our own personal way, contribute to the mission of the church in the way that we live and the way that we live it out in our community and in our world. You contributed about $750 toward the purchase of animals for the ELCA Global Farm Challenge. Remember the little piggy banks? $750. That is amazing. That is multiplying our resources. And throughout the United States, the students that collected funds in that way raised over $26,000. This fall, once again, we will participate in the local food drive for our community. Many of you volunteer at Degage or at Supper House to feed the hungry. Lives are touched when we take, we give thanks, and we share our resources. And it is then that our Lord comes. He is seen for who he is, as one who brings compassion, one who loves, and one who promises to nurture us and to save us. Jesus knows not only what you will do when you have an opportunity to share your faith, but he knows what he will do with the simple resources that you bring, yourselves, your time, and your possessions. And so we pray, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.